Mark chapter 10 this month. I want to speak to you about the love of Jesus. And this morning, I'm going to tell you about Jesus' love for a young man. So, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And as he was going forth into the way, there ran one to him and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother." And he said unto him, "Teacher, all these things have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And some tell us, "Take up the cross and follow me." But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that we've read so many biographies of men, we've studied history, but there is nothing that can equal the biographies that you give us in the Scripture, the stories ever so brief about some of your creatures, those especially in the life of your Son. And we have read about one this morning, a young man. Let us know that there are ever so many of us here who are old, but there are young ones as well. Let us realize that the lessons learned from this young man are true also for us who are old men and women. And we desire that this might be a day of blessing, that you will look upon us, and that we shall know that the Spirit of God has been in our midst, in the hearts of those who are listening, and in the lips of him who speaks. We desire that your Son might be glorified. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive our sins as you promised, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and glorify the name of that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A morning without clouds. Blessed is the end of a thing more than the beginning. When the clouds return after the rain. Three very different portions from God's Word. And you would think that from what I read this morning, it would be the first. Here is a young man that approaches the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything is filled with hope. It looks like a morning without clouds. But then there are further developments. And for that reason, Ecclesiastes tells us that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. My mother used to work for a Jewish family in Raleigh, Goodman's Ladies Shop, and the old lady who was head of that business had this superstition that if you sold the first customer of the day, that the beginning of the day would be the same as the end of the day. You would sell customers all day long. You would begin selling them, and you would end selling them. And so when the first customer of the morning would come in, you have never seen such kindness, such attention, bringing the very best wares that she had and giving a price that was unbelievable. She would do everything except give the customer the dress that she was looking at. Why? Because she thought that the beginning of a matter would be the end of the matter. But what is so sad is that I would think from the portion I read you this morning that beginning the way it did, it was going to end well. It could not end any way other than a day that began without clouds and that would end without clouds. But you do not know the end from the beginning. God does, but you do not know the end from the beginning. Here is an incident, and it is a marvelous incident, because I cannot understand why this young man would care to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what all of you would like. You would like to be wealthy. You would like to be in a position where you could tell other people what to do. You would like to be young, and you would like to have your health. And tell me, how many young people today who have their health, who have wealth, and are in a position of authority, are running after the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting something else in life? I'm afraid that this is what is happening to young people today. They're seeking all the things I told you about, and once they lay hold on those things, they disregard the Lord Jesus Christ entirely. Who needs him? You see, they have the possessions of this life, and now they're going to live the good life. But will you learn, young and old, from this young man who had all the things that you do not yet probably have, that when you have them all, there will still be an emptiness in you if you are one who ever permits the Spirit of God to cause you to think that there is an emptiness in life and you will have to seek after something else. That is what this young man discovered. And because of that, he runs to the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Savior is on earth, his stay here is brief, and at times he would pass by, and Bartimaeus would hear that Jesus was passing by, and he would cry aloud and not let Jesus pass by. He could not run after Jesus. He could not see. But here is a young man, and he knows about the Lord Jesus, and he has to run after the Lord Jesus so he can stop him and petition him before the Lord Jesus goes away and he's not there to answer questions anymore. Think now. In all your searching through life, do you believe that there is one man that is worthy of being run after? You have everything that most young man desire, and that with all those things, you run after a man to tell you of something that is more important than all the material things that you possess. What happens is this. This example has been fulfilled by multitudes in the world today. But what happens is that they're not running after our Lord Jesus Christ, but they're running after their own guru. They're running after false prophets. They're running after men that set themselves up as authorities and profess to know all the answers, but the answers that they give you will send you to hell. But in this instance, the man had heard that Jesus was the good teacher, and he was determined not to let Jesus escape. And so he exerts himself and runs and catches Jesus before he can pass out of his life. Now, that is a good example for someone, and I would do the same thing, to have heard of someone who has all the answers, and then to exert yourself to the fullest to get to that man and ask him for some answers that will bless you in your life. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, well, this is the reverse of that. Here is a man that is seeking Jesus that he might be saved as one of the lost. Yes. But what you must understand is this, that any time a man shows an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven, in eternity, that God, by the Spirit in his heart, has been seeking that man first of all. It is not always that God sends his Son and he goes through life looking for this one and that one that he might give you eternal life, but that he's here is the proof that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then the next proof that he's seeking you is that there is a desire in your heart to seek him. That is a miracle when a man seeks out the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. In having a conversation with some, they were listening to the Savior and they were arguing with him, and the Lord Jesus brushed them aside and he said, "Murmur not among yourselves." He said, "No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him." And therefore, when any sinner is coming to the Lord Jesus, especially running to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God is working fervently in his heart, and he is obeying the Spirit of God, telling him, go to this man, seek answers from him. And so this day that I read you about is like a morning without clouds. Here is one whose life has not been dissipated. His life is not smirched by sin. All the hopes and prospects of life are before him. And so the Spirit of God says, seek Jesus. And he does. When he comes to the Lord Jesus, what he does is similar to what the lawyer did, which shows you that professional men in life are interested in answers, and the question they ask is the same. They both come to Jesus, and this lawyer says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And this young man asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But the remarkable thing is this, that Jesus, the man with all the answers, instead of giving the answer, asks the lawyer to give him the answer. He says, you tell me, what do you think you have to do to inherit eternal life? Tell me how you read the Word of God. And the lawyer said, why, to inherit eternal life, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord Jesus said, you are right. Do this, and you shall live. Draw from this that some men already know how to lay hold on eternal life, how to inherit eternal life. And if the Lord Jesus asked, you could tell him, and the Savior himself could give no improvement over the answer that the lawyer gave the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And yet the man is lost, knowing all the answers. In like manner, the Lord Jesus, when this young man says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus tells him, you know. He said, you know the commandments. What are those commandments? The Lord Jesus said, these are the commandments. You are not to kill. You are not to commit adultery. You are not to lie. You are not to steal. All of these things are the commandments of God. And you are to love your neighbor as yourself. You are to honor your father and your mother. You know all of these commandments. These are the things that you have to do to inherit eternal life. Now, what is like between the lawyer and this young ruler is that both of them know what is right and what is wrong, and they know the Word of God and can quote the Word of God. And that's a remarkable thing. And all of you young people here who have been brought up in a Christian home, who have had the Bible read to you, who have been told what is right and what is wrong, it is a blessing from God. Why? Because if they have told you what the Bible teaches accurately, then they have told you the way of life. And understand this, that if your parents have read it to you from the Bible and have taught it to you from the Bible, if you go to the Lord Jesus and ask them the same thing your parents told you, Jesus will tell you. If anyone teaches you accurately from the Word of God, if you had Jesus to consult personally, you would get no different answer and no better answer. And so all of you, thank God tonight, now, that you have parents who have taught you right from wrong. My parents taught me right from wrong, but they did not know the way of salvation. But they taught me right from wrong. As a young man, we were not permitted to curse to take God's name in vain. And also, as best they knew, remember the Sabbath day? I went to Sunday school on the Sabbath Sunday, as they thought it. And not only that, but I could not tell a lie and I could not steal. And I remember my mother on one occasion. I loved her and I wanted to do something for her. And so one day I came home with this beautiful bouquet of flowers and I said, Mother, here is something for you. She said, Son, it's beautiful. Where did you get it? And I didn't want to tell her because I had stolen it from a flower garden down the street. And so I said, why, I got it from... Mother said, that is stealing, son. I do thank you for these flowers, that you thought about me, that you gave them to me. But son, you cannot steal to give your mother flowers. Isn't that remarkable? Something over 60 years ago, and I never forgot it, the lesson, thou shalt not steal. And also the other things to a greater or lesser degree about not lying, not bearing false witness, things of that nature. And so I thank God for all that was taught me, even by parents who were unsaved to my knowledge. They taught me right from wrong. And so this lawyer knew right from wrong. And this young man knew right from wrong. And yet they were both lost. They could tell the Lord Jesus the same thing that Jesus could tell them. And still, they were lost. And they were aware of it. That is what is so remarkable. That a man with all the material possessions of life knows that something is missing. And also, A man, unless he has been born again of the Spirit of God, who is seeking as best he is able to keep the commandments, he knows that he is not a child of God. These things are intuitive in the heart, because the Spirit of God will not let you believe a lie, will not let you be satisfied with outward observances, without something that has first taken place in the heart. And the young man knew that something was wrong, even though he was able to tell Jesus this. He told Jesus, when the commandments were mentioned, he said, "All of these have I observed from my youth." And I know that he was telling the truth to the best of his knowledge, because it says, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. Jesus did not listen to the answers of hypocrites and love them. When they spoke as hypocrites, he would expose them. He said, "You hypocrites." But here is a young man who thought that to the best of his knowledge, all the commandments that he had been taught as a young man, he had obeyed them from his youth. Now, how many young people today can say that? Some of us can say, "I know the commandments." And some of us can say, "I've kept some of the commandments." But this young man could say, "I have observed all the commandments from my youth." And so, his own conscience was telling him, partly, that you're all right, that you kept the commandments of God. You need nothing else. But the Spirit of God was telling him, because there are two things that Paul says. He said, "I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, the Spirit of God also. The Spirit of God is telling me things. And so you do not know just by your conscience alone. You have to know by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God confirming the things that your conscience is telling you. Because some of you will say, "Why, this is right. Why, this is wrong. Why, there's nothing that could be wrong with this thing. Why, my conscience doesn't bother me. Why, this young man said, I've kept all these commandments from my youth." His conscience wasn't bothering him, but it was. Because if it weren't bothering him, why bother the Lord Jesus? If you've kept the commandments, if you're sure you have eternal life, you've passed from death unto life, then why ask the Lord Jesus how to inherit eternal life? Because the Spirit of God will not allow you to rest upon a foundation of sand rather than a solid rock. And for that reason, the young man came and sought the answer from the Lord Jesus. Thank God that everything about this man was lovable to the natural eye, to the natural man. But I want to tell you that without realizing it, he said things of the Lord Jesus that he did not believe about the Lord Jesus. When he came to the Savior, he ran and knelt. Think of the earnestness. Think of the reverence. And then he said, "Good Master, good Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus immediately corrected him concerning the title that he gave him. He said, "Why are you calling me good?" He said, "There is no one that is good except God." And this is what you find. The next time the young man spoke to our Savior, he simply said, "Teacher." What does this mean? The young man says, "Good Master." And the Lord Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good. That is God." And so, let us rush to this conclusion. Jesus is telling the young man, "You are going too far. You are showing too much reverence to me. You are looking upon me and addressing me as only God should be addressed." If the Lord Jesus were saying that, then he contradicted everything else that the Bible teaches about him. And I'm going to show you from his own words that it's impossible for him to mean the explanation that I've just given you of what all the liberals would say Jesus has done. Fools and blind, can't you see that Jesus is renouncing his divinity? Just the opposite. Here is a man that called Jesus something, and he did not comprehend what he was calling Jesus, and I will verify it now. On an occasion, the Lord Jesus said to his enemies that had rejected him, he said, "What do you think about the coming Messiah, the Christ, the promised Messiah? Whose son is he?" And they said, "He is the son of David." And the Lord Jesus said, "Then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet'?" David calls him Lord, and this is a word that is used for God. David calls him Lord. There is Jehovah, and there is Adonai, and our Savior here is called Adonai. He is called the Mighty God. And the Lord Jesus is telling others that he's talking to this: "Who do you think I am? Tell me, what is your estimate of the promised Messiah?" And they said, "He is a direct descendant of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." He said, "Well, how is it that David then calls his son Lord? If he is David's son, his inferior, how is it that David is calling his son Lord?" And they were confounded because they were not able to give that answer. And the Lord Jesus tells you in the last book of the Bible, so briefly, the answer to that. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the bright and the morning star. I am the root and the offspring of David." Yes, he's the offspring of David. He's the son of David. But he is the root of David. David has his beginnings, his existence in the Lord Jesus as well. The Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And being made flesh, the Lord Jesus, yes, was the son of David. But he who is the son of David is also David's Lord, because all things were made by him. And apart from him was not anything made that hath been made. And so the next time you listen to what Jesus said and say, Jesus is telling you he's not good, he is telling that young man, "You have given me a title that is only deserving of God." He was calling Jesus something that he did not know he was calling Jesus. And he said, "Now, are you prepared to accept that?" And the next time he spoke to our Savior, his answer without telling him was, "No, I'm not prepared to do it, Master." You remember Thomas? Thomas saying, "I will not believe in the resurrection." And finally, when the Lord Jesus presented himself to Thomas and gave him the physical evidence and the privilege of verifying with his senses that he was alive from the dead, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Thomas. You are blessed because you've seen and believed." And so you are saying that Jesus is telling him, "You are wrong in calling me God, good." He's saying, "You are wrong in calling me that unless you understand what you are calling me." And so unless you are prepared to say that Jesus is the root as well as the offspring of David, then you are no better than this young man. And so do not call Jesus good Master anymore. Just call him Master. Just place him in the category of teachers. He is one of the prophets. He is one of the teachers. He is one of the many good men that had come upon the scene. He would have you to do that rather than give him an address that is meaningless to you. Whereas if you have been revealed by the Spirit of God, the truth of the person of Christ, then call him good Master. Because, and I remember old Will Pell, using these words again and again when I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He would pray, O Lord, Thou art good and doest good. I heard him use those words again and again, speaking of God, You are good and doest good. And the Lord Jesus said, Do not call me good unless you're prepared to call me God. But the Lord Jesus is good. Even in his humanity, there is no man like the Lord Jesus. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heavens. And so there is no title that you can give the Lord Jesus Christ that is too high for the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus speaks to this young man, and how this morning that began without clouds is still a morning without clouds is that when the Lord Jesus told him the way of life, he said, I'm in that way of life. I've kept all of these commandments. And it says that Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. So the morning is still without clouds. Not one has appeared upon the horizon. Everything is without clouds. It looks as if the beginning of the day is going to be like the ending of the day. A day without clouds and the sun shining brightly from heaven. But then, the Lord Jesus said this to him. He said, One thing you lack. He said, Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and come, follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And it suddenly dawned upon that young man that to the best of his knowledge, he had kept the commandments and tried to do right and wrong, but in his heart, there had never been the truth of loving your neighbor as yourself. And that was the test, and God gives that ultimate test. Abraham is called the friend of God. And so God says to Abraham, I will see if he's my friend. He said to Abraham, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and go offer him upon the mount that I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took Isaac his son to offer him unto God. And he would have offered his son to God. But God said, I do not need any more evidence. Now I know that you have given me the preeminent place. And so you may keep your son. Now, do you understand that you who think that you love your neighbor as yourself, that you've not committed adultery, that there is no sin in your heart, the Lord Jesus, for all of us who are so complacent, says this. He said, If you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you have committed adultery. Oh God, how many of us would have to confess we had broken the seventh commandment if he said that, and that is what he said. And so there is a depth to the commandments and expectations of God that you do not realize. But as much as that young man, humanly speaking, was able to comprehend, he had kept the commandments of God relatively. But he had to keep them perfectly. And the Lord Jesus said this to those that were speaking to him. He said, Did not Moses give you the law, the Ten Commandments? He said, And none of you doeth the law. An indictment. None of you doeth the law. Well, then why, when the lawyer came and said, What do I do to inherit eternal life? Why did the Lord give him the law? And this young man, why is the law given to him? And the Lord says to them, Yes, do this and you will live. To bring upon them the realization that they cannot do the law. That of yourself there is that inability. Now, after you have been born again and empowered by the Spirit of God, there will be an attempt to do all that is moral and good and in compliance with the will of God. Yes, You'll never do it perfectly, even now, down here. But at least you will understand that you do it imperfectly. Paul said, I've been trying for 25 years to be perfect. He said, I'm not as yet perfect. He said, neither have I been conformed perfectly to the image of Christ. He said, but I'm still trying. But when I see the Savior face to face, then I shall be like him, because I'm going to see him as he is. But until then, everything is relative. But at least I know that apart from the grace of God saving me through faith, I cannot get to heaven by keeping the commandments of God. I tell you this, that if you say you have been born again and you disregard the commands of God, what is right and wrong, and live a life of sin and say, I'm still going to heaven, I will show you that you are wrong. Because salvation is being born again by grace through faith and then empowered by the Spirit of God to live the will of God to the best of your ability. That is what God would have you to know. And this young man suddenly realized that he had not kept the commandments of God, that he did not love his neighbor as himself, and he was not prepared to sell what he had, give to the poor, and come and follow Jesus. And suddenly, that morning that was without clouds, suddenly the sky is filled with clouds, and there's not a ray of sunshine. And what happens is this. There are two opposite expressions given to us. It said Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. Think of the expression on the face of Jesus Christ, looking upon a young man whom he desires to follow him, to escape from hell. Think of that look of love and desire and anticipation upon the face of Christ. And then when Christ told him the way of salvation, the ultimate demand, it said that young man's face, his countenance fell, and sorrow possessed, and he went away. And so what happened was this. He had come to the source of eternal life, and he had turned his back on eternal life and walked down the path of death to hell. And that is what is happening to you this morning. If you know what is right and wrong, and you say, I've relatively done what is right, and I've turned away from the wrong, but you have never been born again, you've never cast yourself upon God as one who finds it impossible to do perfectly the commands of God, and then you've understood, yes, there is the demand of God upon my life, then, unless you've understood that, why, you're like this young man. You are loved, but you are lost. Now, is that not a sad thing? That Jesus loves you, but you're still lost. And the love of Jesus will save no man. The love of Jesus sent him to seek and to save you who are lost. But the Bible says, you must seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And so, having sought you, and this morning the Spirit of God working in your heart, he is seeking you, then, by his grace, seek him, and he shall be found. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that there is one who came to earth that we should run after. And we are thankful that in all his wisdom and fairness and love, that he wants us all to be saved. Our God, he has done everything he could to seek and to save us. Has he not left heaven and gone to the cross and shed his precious blood? And now, Father, you have called upon us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And so we pray that this day all who are here, understanding their lost condition, shall call upon the name of the Lord, and you have promised he shall be saved. Let us see that blessing, we pray, and let this day without clouds end without clouds. Let there be sunshine, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.